الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خيرا for everyone's attendance, those who are here physically in our gathering, those who are listening live, and those who are listening to the recorded session later. Inshallah, we just want to look at something that might sound dire, but it's a reflection of the times we live in. But if we mention something dire, we should also give its solution. So inshallah, we'll end on a positive note. But if we look at something, a quote from the Hilyat al-Awliya, Abu Naim al-Asfahani's beautiful book, which used to be available in a translation. I think it's out of print. It's called Beauty of the Righteous. But it's a beautiful book. And in it are recorded anecdotes of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, various members of the Salaf, and their lives, their hallowed lives. Just opening up the book takes you into a little piece of Jannah, actually, to see how they lived. The little vignettes into their lives are a world, a perspective that seems worlds away, but this is still how the ulama and the awliya live. So we also have portions of it continuing onwards until the closing of the earthly abode. So what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anh said, as quoted by Abu Naim al-Asfahani in Hilyat al-Awliya, is that there will come a dark time when people's sense of judgment will be suspended and their brains will no longer be able to function, to the point that one will not find a single person to reason with. Now, the first time I read that, and I thought, wow, I thought I was the only one who was thinking this and saying this. I've been saying this for years to various people. Have you noticed that people just don't seem to get things? And all of this, of course, the ulama have been talking about this. And first of all, we should know that as commoners, lay people, this is haram. To have argumentation in anything is haram. Now, the ulama, they can disagree, but it's after much knowledge that they're allowed to get to that position because there are rules to even disagreeing. So what we have in our time, and this can be the summation of every single problem that we find, there's a nice quote. If you read Sheikh Hamza's blog, I read it now and then. He has a nice quote. I think it's from Thoreau, one of the early American writers, who says that almost every conflict or problem, you can find the root of it to some report, some news report, because people will disagree about it and it may not be correct. So usually, but this, when we think deeply, what does this refer to? It's about our words and what we say about things and how they happen. Again, the reaction. This is why Sayyidina Shaykh Hafidhullah mentions this often, how we can study how the best sunnah, our appropriate action, what are the sunnahs we're supposed to do? We all know the sunnahs of prayer, for instance. And for the most part, many people, that may be the culmination of their understanding of the sunnah, unfortunately. But as we know, as those who want to learn more, who are at least, if not the law, but ilm, at least want to know their fardain, then we know there's a lot more to the sunnah than just the sunnah of prayer. It's the sunnah in every single circumstance that we find ourselves in. There is a better way to act, and then more importantly for our purposes, a better way to react than to just simply say whatever comes on the tongue. And of course, what are we talking about? Again, we go back to this concept of how dangerous our words are, how heavy. And when you're in person with the person, your gestures also. When you ask psychologists, and this is why email can become extremely dangerous. We're eliminating tone. We're eliminating the gestures. So if you don't get the tone, and I've seen this over and over again, a person's reading of an email might be, usually is totally absorbed by the mood that they're in. So they can read it entirely incorrectly based on the mood they're in. Whereas that person could have been happy-go-lucky when he was writing that email, and then he's bouncing off on the recipient and said, how dare you say this? Because that person's mood is different, and he didn't get the tone. And this can happen, obviously, in text messages also. So we have to be careful. It's happened often, even when we have to convey important messages. So, and of course, then you have to call and explain that that's not what the tone of the message was, and so on. Okay, so that's one level in our just mass communication level. But then when it comes to when we're really trying a little harder and we want to try to understand things, but then even then we err. And we're not erring on the side of caution. We're erring on this side of opening our mouth where we shouldn't be opening it continuously. And it's not the way of the ulama to do that. That's why we need to discuss this and look into it over and over again. All of the arifin that we see throughout the history of this ummah into the present time and continuing on, you will see that aura about them for the most part from being silent. From being silent for the majority of their study in the beginning and in the end. That's how this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes place. You start off quietly, you end quietly. Then a nice word is quietude. You know, when it's one of the ways of describing someone who passes on from this world, you want to see them, especially members of the ummah, be released from this world in quietude. Not in disarray. And that comes from, for the most part, what happens during this quietude? So in the beginning and in the end, that's the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path. In the beginning, you're just absorbing. And this applies to no matter when we start the seeking sacred knowledge. If we started as children, if we started as adults, it doesn't matter. We still have to put in those years of quietude in order to be able to speak properly according to the sunnah. And this doesn't mean just about the sacred knowledge. This means keeping quiet about everything, any knowledge. And this is why the ulama are the smartest people in the world on any subject. And Allah gives them tawfiq on any subject because they've done that due diligence. Whereas in our time, people think they have to express their opinion about everything. And just, you'll notice it everywhere you go. People just saying, well, I think, well, who asked you? I mean, we don't think how ignorant that is. You're making yourself sound extremely ignorant by insinuating your, and here's the other person probably spent years and they're trying to share knowledge that they know, share with you for free, all of their hard work, and you want to interrupt and say, this is what I think. It's just utter ignorance. And sometimes it can lead to, worse than that, arrogance. So we have to watch what we say. I mean, even just minor things and just saying, well, I think this is why. Why are we even expressing that? I can tell you, this is how the ulama got to where they got to. They kept quiet so they could just absorb. And then they want to be alone in the end of their lives as well. The awliya particularly, not necessarily the ulama, who are very well-known scholars who have to continue teaching. Many of them teach until their last breaths. But the awliya prefer quietude, solitude, their munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where their ecstasy resides. So they've tasted. There's nothing greater than that. So why would they want anything else? They do the service, the khidmah to the ummah in terms of teaching. As we know, this is why Sheikh Muhammad Hafidullah says about his father, he would not have uttered a word, he would not have gone out in public if it wasn't for the sacred knowledge. And that is al-haq. He's not just saying that as a cliche. And same thing with Sayyidina Sheikh. I shared with you what his wife has said to me. You know, your Sheikh really doesn't like people. And it was just her soundbite way of saying that he just prefers to be alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does this to serve the ummah. So this is what we want to be aware of. Because, you know, when you go out and about, you hear people getting into trouble about this. And these are, when you're confronted with this, you hear people say, to someone, I've even heard this, someone was saying that they spent, they're just narrating something that someone had said after tons of research, and someone else will say, well, you know, I don't really care how much research they've done. I mean, that's the height of ignorance. You just want to go by your opinion rather than, because that's the way of the scholars, whether it's about deen or dunya. We want to go to, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? To ask people who know if you do not know. And that's just, that's not about, the ulama have said the commentary of that ayah is not just about the dini knowledge. It's about the dunyawi knowledge as well. This is why we go to experts in various fields. When we need help in certain matters in the dunya, wherever it is we need help in. We can't all be experts. And actually, that's another point altogether. What you will find, because of this concept of ihsan and istihsan, if you're not perfect at something already, then there's working on other things. And that's the way of the ulama and the awliya. This is why we find them, whatever they touch, it turns into gold, meaning that they excel in whatever they do. Because that's their nature. They don't want to do something, especially if it involves teaching other people that subject, unless they've already excelled in it. So if you take, for example, the common, our contemporary people like that are popular, Tim Ferriss, I don't know if anybody has read his book, The 4-Hour Workweek. He wrote this acclaimed book called 4-Hour Workweek. And he's just someone who excels in his business. He started off with a natural supplement. And then he just found that most people waste their time in micromanaging in their business. And he found a lot of success and he did it by accident. He was just tired of working long, long hours managing his own business that he just left, you know, because he was about to have a nervous breakdown, managing all this, you know, the supplements and the back end, every single thing of his business. So he just walked away and he said, you know, he just needs a vacation. And the opposite of what he thought would happen would occur. Occurred. When he came back, everything was flourishing in his business. So what he realized was he was micromanaging too much. He didn't need to do all those extra emails, answering people. It just took care of itself. That's why he wrote that 4-Hour Workweek, where he just took away all that extra work. What would happen if you stopped doing all of that extra stuff that we waste our time in? Right? This is what we mean. So when we talk about all the talk that we do, getting into things that we don't have knowledge of, it's all about, in the end, wasting time when we could be using that time for the only reason we created, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, for a Muslim, everything we do is ibadah if we just remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other ummah was given that beauty and verity. So it's quite, subhanAllah, simple. So these are the benefits that we'll find if we put these things and implement, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq in implementing these wisdoms, because just a little bit of implementation will go a long way. And this is how, by the way, the ulama and the awliya, how do you think they got to that level where they can give us knowledge of the unseen, where they can say, when we go and ask them, what do you think if I marry this person? Or what do you, should I go? Why do we seek their advice in addition to istikhara, or have them do istikhara? Where do you think that came from? Because they did not waste their time. They never spoke about anything that they did not have knowledge of. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recompenses those who observe these laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives them the gifts that they see for having done so. So because they don't speak about that which is known, unless they know it, Allah gives them knowledge of the unknown, because they never spoke about that which, unless they knew it. So you see, it's recompense for them. And alhamdulillah, we have access to them because of their obliging this rule. And so the more that we do this, we'll find less argumentation and more tawfiq, inshallah, and success in all of our endeavors, bi-idhnillah. And so what we're trying to say is we shouldn't have an opinion. I always bring this every now and then into these discourses, that going back to kindergarten, this is a kindergarten lesson, knowing the difference between an O and an F, between an opinion and a fact. So, sure, we can say if someone is saying, this such and such happened because it's in the past, that you can say, we can look it up. Nowadays, it's so easy. And you could say, this is a fact, it's history, it's already happened. But even that, we'll find people argue about until it's clarified to them when they look it up on Google, in a Google search. But, and if you look at the Arabic language, this is why we say, for instance, qabiltu, in terms of a transaction, it just occurred, you have to say that, so that it's a done deal. Or when you accept a proposal in marriage, use the past tense, because only the past tense, even in the English language, what do we say? Past is perfect. It's called the perfect tense. Only the past tense is called the perfect tense, because it already occurred. So you cannot argue about it. And only in the past tense. So we can't, for instance, and then we have it even closer when we say, for instance, the best example would be, وَقَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. The prayer has just been established. This is why we use the qad. Qad qama. So when you put qad before a past tense, it means just. You add the word just. And then in other languages, like I've mentioned before, the Portuguese language goes even further. Their tense encoded in the language is every 10 minutes. It means just up till 10 minutes ago, I'm telling you the news. So if anything happened, like I told you, a facetious way of explaining this is, if you ask a man, are you married? Encoded in the meaning is, I was married up until 10 minutes ago. I don't know if my wife has divorced me, but that's included in the meaning. You see the beauty here of language and what it should make us reflect. So we have to watch what we say. Do not argue about anything unless it's past, recorded, history, something that is an F, a fact. And first of all, we shouldn't argue, because we can just say, we can just look it up. So we want to avoid all of this. And alhamdulillah, usually this doesn't need to be discussed with people on the path, in tariqah. But so now we need to look at, how do we handle this when we hear others around us doing this? So this is the solution. And for us too, if we ever catch ourselves doing this, but what is the panacea for everything is remembering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The whole world has gotten this idea that the only reason we're created is to find love. And it usually means, your love life partner. So they have part of that right. It is to find love. But it is to find the true beloved, the perfect love in Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So they have part of that right. But we will never find that perfect love except in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And then you can find the closest to it in, inshallah, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that in our lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give it to everyone we're around, whom we're around with, inshallah. Because that, then we have what the whole world is looking for and searching for. But we cannot get it until we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why in the Arab world, when you see people arguing, what is their solution? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Instantly, we have to remember our beloved. This is the ultimate beloved, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the perfect love. So it solves all of our problems. So we remember that, and inshallah, this argumentation shouldn't be a habit, but when it occurs if we get embroiled in something, we're all human in the end of the day. So when it happens, we just remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And this is why the one who knows more of his seerah is going to get it quickly. Just remembering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, they're just going to let that topic go. Does it really mean anything when you remember your beloved? It doesn't. So, and it applies to all of our endeavors. You know, there are nice phrases in Arabic to kind of sum up, and it's a higher level of poetry than any translations that we can find. But for instance, there's إِنَّ الزِّيَارَةَ لِلْحَبِيبِ يَصِيرُ. Like, I think the brothers can attest to this. They find traveling easy because when they go to travel for Sayyidina Sheikh Muhammad Hafizullah, so indeed the traveling for the beloved is easy. We know that traveling is very difficult, but when you do it for your beloved, it's easy. But this can be applied on a general note to everything we do. So prayer becomes easy. Studying becomes easy. What are we doing it for? We're doing it for our beloved. So why are we complaining? Anything you do, cooking, you're doing it for your family. They're your beloved. What is the complaint? If it's for your beloved, just remember why you're doing it. So it all becomes easy, everything. I don't like hardship, by the way. This is why I mentioned this. I'm speaking to myself. I don't like things to be hard. They should be easy and just come naturally. Sidi Muhammad Hassan, mashallah, may Allah reward him, he comes here, and you can see the love between the brothers there, mashallah. I mean, coming all the way from the West Coast like this, that he does, alhamdulillah, you could see true love there amongst the brothers. So it is the panacea to everything. So we quoted what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, and that is true. It's a serious matter, and we don't want to find ourselves in that realm of argumentation, wal-iyadu billah, or let's get at a higher level. Let's not speak about anything we don't have knowledge of. And just say it. I mentioned the doctor, my father's doctor. Initially, he was very respectful, and he didn't go beyond his knowledge, which was orthopedic surgery. But once he treaded beyond that, he made grave errors. So you see, you know, we have to, I had utmost respect for him when he was doing that, when he was sticking within his own field. But there's no reason to tread elsewhere because people will find out easily whether you have knowledge in that or you're expert in that or not. So we're doing nothing. Ultimately, we're making fools of ourselves when we do that. And the ulama say, you know, when you're with scholars, be careful what you say. First of all, when you're with the leaders of the world, you know, they say to watch what you wear because this is how they judge you. You know, the politicians, the statesmen, or any of the high-ranking officials of the dunya. That's what the first thing they look at. They're like, oh, okay, that person's dressed nicely, and so on. This is how they judge people. The ulama judge people by what they say, so they will not have an opinion of you until you open your mouth. Like it said in Majalis of Sacred Knowledge, like I think once with Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he had a weakness in his knee. And one time there was an elderly gentleman coming into his majlis, and he felt all of his regular students knew about him stretching out his legs, and that was fine because they knew about his knee problem. Because it's not considered good adab, of course. But when he saw this elderly gentleman come, he put himself into pain because he felt this elderly gentleman needed that etiquette. And he was older than Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. And he sat for days. One day that elderly gentleman opened his mouth. He outstretched his legs that day, meaning that he knew that this person was not a person of knowledge and he could, you know, he was a lay person who was crude. So he started outstretching his legs, meaning that you will be judged as soon as you open your mouth and your rank in the world will be known. And so keep quiet. Nobody will know what your rank is. For the most part, none of us have much of a rank. So when you keep quiet and you have the elegant clothes, people will have a high opinion. And then it said about the Arifin, how to be with them. فَكُنْ كَيْفَ مَا شِئْ. Be however you are, because they're not with you. They're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جزا الله أن سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما هو أهله. جزا الله أن سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما هو أهله. جزا الله أن سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما هو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الفاتحة.